Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Amen. Hello there, and welcome back to the weekend edition of Let the Bible Speak. And I'm your host, and my name is Pastor Paul Backhurst, and I'm the minister of the gospel at a congregation here in Calgary, the northeast area, specifically in the neighborhood called Pine Ridge. It's good to have you back, and I trust you've been able to keep up with the show throughout the weekdays, Monday to Friday at 4:30, when my colleague the Reverend Ian Gollagher hosts the program Let the Bible Speak during the week. And now on the weekend edition, as you may know if you've been keeping up with the weekends, that we have been going through the chapters, early chapters of Genesis. And we now come to the fifth chapter of Genesis, and an awful lot of this chapter will be dealt with in one message. It's a fairly long message, and so it'll be split up over two weekends. And today we have the first part of the four-part message entitled The Generations of the Last Adam. And even though when you read chapter 5, it seems to be speaking of the first Adam and his generations that go forth from Adam himself, but really, in much detail, it points to the second Adam, as we see as we go through the second, third, and the fourth parts of this message. So it'll take two weekends for us to go through this particular message. Now, you've heard a portion of the scriptures read to you at the top of the program, the first six or so verses from Genesis 5. Each of the four broadcasts will take another portion of Genesis 5, so we'll have most, if not all, of the chapter read out over the course of two weekends. And so, having, as it were, muddied our fingers by looking at Lamech and the generations of Cain and their wickedness and godlessness for quite a while, although we were refreshed when we looked at the receding of a godly seed through the man Seth, the replacement for Abel. Now in chapter 5, we're spending a lot more time considering these 10 generations from Adam all the way up to Noah of a reseeding of the church. But also we do see something of the great apostasy just beginning to be at work, which is revealed in Genesis chapter 6 itself. Anyway, let us bring our thoughts back to chapter 5 and the first part of a four-part message entitled The Generations of the Last Adam, and we'll go to our pulpit here in Calgary Free Presbyterian Church. May the Lord bless his word to your soul this day.
Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
It's most of chapter 5. We're not examining much in verse 29 or 30. Specifically 29 about Noah. I would like, with the Lord's help, to look at that particular verse separately as we enter into the next major portion in Genesis, which examines Noah and Noah's ministry and then the flood, etc. But most of chapter 5. And as normally we would read the sermon text again, but considering it's a whole chapter, we won't. So you'll forgive me, or you'll thank me. But we have read that together. But we will pray to the Lord and seek his help and blessing as the word goes forth. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee that where there is no righteousness in self, and yet in the Lord, in Jehovah Jesus, there is a full and perfect righteousness to be found. Lord, we sin and therefore we are unrighteous.
and we are hypocrites, and we are by nature, therefore, godless. Sin stands between us and God, ever. And yet, Lord, if we may have the righteousness of Christ, if we can say, Jehovah Tsikenu, for us individually, O Lord, how wonderful a truth is that, that He is our righteousness, that He is our Saviour, that He is our worth, that He is our Lord, that He is our protector, that He is our all in all. O Lord, we thank Thee for Jesus, and we pray, Lord, that Thy word will come and go forth this morning and feed Thy people. Lord, that it may be used even to the convicting of the souls and the consciences of those who are not yet Thy people, that they may be caused by Thy word to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. Bless the going forth of Thy word. Help us to believe. Give us understanding. Give us hearts that are teachable, that we may grow in Christ-likeness, that we may grow, therefore, in the fellowship with Christ. And give unto me, Lord Jesus, as I have this solemn task of feeding Thy flock, of preaching the gospel, of preaching Christ and Him crucified, Lord, give that blessing and that help, the strength from on high. Take Thy word, in spite of the weakness of man, in spite of the weakness of the flesh, take Thy word and apply it and do us good. Lord, give all that is needed from Thy throne, that Thy name will be glorified. The man will not be seen, but Christ alone, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What we've read here in chapter 5 of Genesis is really a genealogy. Now, what is a genealogy? A genealogy is a list of descendants. You might use the word a family tree, although a family tree tends to have many, many branches going out, and we see the names of the brothers and sisters and their wives and their children, and that's not what we're seeing here. We're also not being explained to us the history of the world, because as we saw, many sons and daughters were not mentioned. They were mentioned as in there were many sons and daughters besides this named child, but others are not mentioned. And the other sons and daughters of Adam are not mentioned either. But we have a specific line that's been shown to us here. So it's not the history of the world. It's not the history of everybody before the flood. But what it is part of what we call redemptive history. That is the work of the Lord to redeem His people. And so we haven't got a huge list of all names. I mean, if we were... And I presume they still publish these, the old phone books. You know, of a large city, a phone book could be this big, with, you know, the names and addresses and the phone numbers in there. And so when you have millions and millions of people, you have all these names, but most of them are irrelevant. When we're really being pointed towards a particular thing. Now, Genesis, in the 50 chapters of Genesis, contains many records of generations, of generations going forth. But it's very clear that when we consider this generation, this genealogy, this register of generations, is that it points to Christ. It's pointing us to Christ. We didn't see Christ's name strictly written in this chapter 5 of Genesis, and yet it does point to Christ, and we'll see that. We see that because this family of Seth, And we're going back to Adam here. But these Sethites, as we call them, to distinguish them from the Cainites, those the family of Cain, the wicked Cainites. But here we have the godly Sethites. But we see that they are part of Christ's earthly lineage. These names that we've read, and we'll look at that as we get into it a little more. But also in many subtle ways, this chapter is not only a signpost to Christ, but contains much about Christ. And without wanting to over-spiritualize things, you know, when we looked at Hebrews 7 and verse 25, or the chapter 7 specifically, what did we see Paul doing? We see Paul was looking at the meaning of the names, and he was trying to understand from the meaning of the names what it said about Jesus, and something about the lives, and something about the character that was revealed there in that Melchizedek, that priest king of Salem. And he was trying to bring out, and these are the lessons that we can truly see, and all the things that he saw are confirmed by other parts of Scripture. And we will see that this morning also. We will see how much of Christ is foreshadowed, he's pointed to, he's hinted at in even subtle ways. And although we're introduced to the beginning of this chapter, is it as this being the book of the generations of Adam, I would suggest to you, and it is the title of the preaching today, that these are the generations of the last Adam, pointing to the last Adam. And if you don't know what I mean by last Adam, as we open up the Word of God, we'll examine what we mean by that. So the generations of the last Adam, with the Lord's help, that we'll look at this morning. And first, what we'll see in the first of 3 points is the passing on of the likeness. There is a passing on of the likeness as we read the first 3-4 verses of chapter 5. Specifically, verses 1 and 2 say this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And then he continues in verse 3, and we will bring verse 3 in. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And there's a number of relationships here that we see in these verses. Firstly, we see God and Adam. God and Adam, God as the creator and Adam as the creature. And these two verses, as you know your Bible, as you know Genesis, take us immediately back, those first two verses, to Genesis 1 and verse 27. And the preceding verses where he says, let us make God, God says, let us make man in our image, etc. But verse 27 is the carrying out, chapter 1 of Genesis, is the carrying out of that decree, that determination. He says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And so the words, the language, the content is very much repeated here in Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And really what is emphasized here in a number of ways is that God created Adam and Eve in a day. There's a specific day when he made them. And he's making that very clear. In the day that God created man, verse 1. And verse 2 ends in the day when they were created. So man is created in a day. We know that in chapter 2 of Genesis, that Eve is created from him, from his side, in the selfsame day. So what's the emphasis here? There are no long evolutionary processes that go from monkey to man. Man is strictly, clearly, so where you might be, and I know some people are not clear on Genesis 1, that it is a simple historical account. And yet, chapter 2 confirms one day, immediate creation of man and woman by man. Yeah, immediately from the dust of the ground, Adam is created, and then from Adam, Eve is created. There's no hint that this is sort of myth or some form of poetry. It's clearly just written out. And no, just to confirm those who are unsure, chapter 5 begins and repeats and says once again that there is a day when the Lord created Adam and Eve. So we see that it's emphasized that God made Adam and Eve in a day, and that from the very beginning he created them, secondly, male and female. It's the second thing that's made very clear. He made them male and female. Him from the dust of the ground, she from Adam's side. And third, what we also see, and this might have surprised you as we were reading it, we see that this male and female both bear the title Adam. And you see that there in verse 2. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. But this is where the title Adam means, strictly speaking, mankind. They were humans. They weren't animals, they weren't fish, they weren't birds, they weren't beasts of the field, they weren't cattle. They were humans. They were both. So there's no difference there. They're both human. Man and woman, created with equal worth before God. There are differences, physical, emotional, spiritual, in some ways, but they are the same. There is mankind, and so they're both given the title mankind. Although we do see that Adam is given the name because he was the first of mankind. So he strictly has that name, and mankind, Adam, then gives her a name, Eve, being the mother of all living. But it's just interesting to see that. It's very, very clear there. No confusion. Only two types, male and female. And we emphasize once again that the likeness of God that is found in Adam, because it says it here, in the likeness of God made he, that is, God made him. And we've read from Genesis 1:27, and if you go to the previous verses, it speaks a bit more about creating a man in his own image. But what is that image? Because again, you'll have people who come in and say, well, if man has been made in God's image, does God have two arms? Does God have a head in this way? Does God have a body? No, God does not have a body. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. No, that's not what it means. We've looked at this before. In the preaching, we've certainly looked at it in the adult Bible class. What is that? It was a moral image. It was a spiritual image. It was a regal image, that is, royal and ruling image. And it was a relational image. It was a relational likeness. That's what we've looked at before and examined. To use the language of the catechism, the shorter catechism says, you know, how did God create man? And the answer is, and I know some of the children have been memorizing that this morning, is God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. So that gives us an understanding. It is a moral, spiritual, and regal, and relational image that we have in who we are on the inside, and how we interact with God and with each other makes us so different to the creatures. That's God and Adam that we see mentioned at the beginning. Secondly, we have Adam and Seth also. Adam and Seth as regards to image bearers. Verse 3 says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Again, very pointed language, very, very, very interesting language. The language of God in his creation of man, of male and female, the first man and woman, in his creation of mankind, is also used here. But how can it be that Adam begets a son in his own likeness and after his own image? Because it doesn't say, and of course it's not the case, Adam didn't create Seth. He begat him, he fathered him. What does that then mean? Well, it points to a number of things, but primarily it points to this, that fallen Adam fathers fallen children, made in his image and his likeness. That's what it means. All mankind since the fall is born with a sinful nature. It's there. It's not something that's done to them. It's something that we're born, we're created with in the womb. A sinful nature. David, 3,000 years ago, says this in Psalm 51 and verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In the very womb, in the very beginning of existence, that sin nature is in all those that come forth from Adam. So it's not just Seth who is begotten in the likeness and the image of Adam. We all are. And that is what we use that word, original sin. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we are born with the sin nature of fallen Adam, and we bear the shared guilt of that fall. In spite of our own sins in life, we're born as a corrupt seed already. It's in there. It doesn't need much encouragement to come out, if any. It's in there. We know that. And that's what we're born with, original sin. And that word original doesn't mean it's unique. What it means is the origin of our sin nature finds its origin within us. It's within us. It's not from outside influencing us. There is outside influence to cause the sin nature to sin and to make wrong choices and to blaspheme and all these other things. That's true. But it wouldn't happen if there was no sin nature within. So that's what original sin means, is that when we are all created, we're born, we're conceived, there's a corrupt nature within, and we inherit that from, like Seth, from our father Adam. And however godly a man Seth would become, and he certainly has a name in the scriptures, and we certainly see that in the comparison between the godly line of Seth and the godless line of Cain, he was also a sinner in the need of the forgiveness of his sins, also like we.
And so that was the end of the first part of a four-part message entitled The Generations of the Last Adam. And so you can hear the second part on Sunday evening at 10 p.m. on AM 1140. I'd now like to play you a couple of pieces of music. The first is the metrical Psalm 145, and that's the second of two versions they have in the 1650 Psalter, and that is verses 1-6 to the tune of Duke Street. And this is sung by the Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church singers. And then after that, a piece called The Love of God, which is sung and played by Stephen Greer from his first album, Origins, Volume 1. And may the Lord bless you by this ministry in music.
Rocks and hills and mountains call God.
God's love so pure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels song. Love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. Of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. Saints and angels.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, which is a radio broadcast ministry of Calgary Free Presbyterian Church. I trust the Lord has blessed you by his word today, and we look forward to hearing more from God's word tomorrow evening as we continue with this message. If you'd like any more information regarding our ministry, please do visit our website, which you can find at calgaryfpc.ca, calgaryfpc.ca, that's for Free Presbyterian Church, and you can find information about what we believe and what time our services are and our address also. You will also find the archive for all the weekend editions of the Let the Bible Speak radio programs. Do get in touch if you have any questions, if you need any pastoral care, like a free copy of the Bible, the King James Version. And do remember that we do have our weekday programs at 4:30, Monday to Friday, and the Reverend Ian Gollagher, my colleague, looks after those programs. Our address is 123 Pinetown Place, Northeast, Calgary, T1Y5J1. Office number is 403-285-5050. Our Sunday services are at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m, two separate services. And Tuesdays at 7 p.m, we have our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting. You're very welcome to attend. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.